So, okay, everybody ready? Set, go. So, Om Agana Timurandasa Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, this is going to be the last session of empathic communication for today, and actually for this camp. And we have some interesting skits that are being put on by another group with some children in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to do some skits with adults. Uh-oh. And I'm just going to be picking on you and demanding that you do certain things. Just to reiterate, remember we have the four blocks of discommunication. Does anyone know what they are? Diagnosis, demand, and deserve. You got the four blocks. So we're going to pick on a group of you. Of course, maybe we should ask our volunteers first to do a skit spontaneously without any preparation about each one of these blocks of communication, illustrating, demonstrating the block of communication. Oh my God. I'll give you an we'll do a demonstration first. Who wants to do a demonstration with me? No one wants to be vulnerable. I mean, I think it's, you're all from the wrong culture here, yeah. So, all right. Then we'll just pick someone, whether you like it or not. Okay, you, sir. Okay, you ready? So, you're going to guess what block of communication, which one of the four D's I'm illustrating right now. Okay? You ready? Set, go. You are a rascal. You don't chant your rounds. You're useless. You're hopeless. Even your mother didn't like you. What's the use? And so how do you respond to that? In an empathic way.
Empathic way?
Yeah.
Better not to respond.
That's true. Actually, the right way to respond, if I gave all those insults to him, what was the D of discommunication? Diagnosis. So in that case, it's obvious I am what? Experiencing what feeling?
Anger.
So one is feeling angry, you don't want to say to him, you are feeling angry, sir. Because what'll that do? That'll make them more angry. So you respond by not responding, but showing empathy. Because obviously something else is bothering that person, he has some other need. So that would be the right response. Okay, you did a good job. So that's a sort of demonstration of the D of discommunication. So now we're going to ask for two other volunteers to come up. Volunteer? No. Yes, we've got one volunteer and another volunteer, Krishna. You're going to do a more difficult one. This is denial of responsibility. Let's see you illustrate this. Who's going to do the denial? You can do denial. Okay, deny responsibility. You're talking to Krishna here.
We're supposed to...
Yes, you're doing a drama. You're denying responsibility.
Oh.
But you can actually accuse him of something.
You haven't completed any of the service that you agreed to do, and now the whole festival is ruined.
I've been running around since morning. I had to get this ice packs and all this small services. I have no time to chant.
You go back and forth.
So you mean you just chanted your rounds and you blew off all your service because of that?
No, chanting is the main stuff to do this.
But what about your promises and your obligations?
I feel bad because you're putting me on the spot. So I mean, I want to be nice to the devotees. So whatever services you have, I may do it tomorrow or next retreat.
Okay, very good. That's very good. Denial of responsibility. Okay, we need two more volunteers to do a demand. Okay, yes. Demand. Be good to have husband and wife for this sort of thing. why don't we get a husband and wife pair to do the demands? Okay. This is real life. Okay, so make a demand that you normally give.
Did you cook the prasadam?
No, because I had sleepless nights with the kids, and you were nicely sleeping. But then I woke up in the middle of the night to take care of them, and I have to be out of the house at 7:30 a.m. to drop my kids to the school. I have no time to cook.
Well, I would have appreciated if you have shared with me the different varieties of responsibilities that you are going to take care of.
Well, you're doing nonviolence. Yeah. You know, a demand means that there's some reaction you get between what you're demanding.
As a responsible mother, it is your responsibility to think that the kids are going to go hungry, and therefore you should have thought about it.
Well,
and therefore you should have cooked.
Well, you are father too for some reason.
Okay. Well, aren't you getting angry?
I don't think this is right. I would think that you should reconsider next time this happens.
let me play it. It's not going to work. He's too scared. I'm not scared. So I'm going to play his part now. Don't you understand? That's your duty.
No, I don't know. It seems like I don't know.
You have to do that. If you don't do that, you want money for new saris, you want money for jewelry all the time. What was the marriage vow you took? to serve. This is Vedic. We have a Vedic marriage. Okay, very good. That's all right. So the word Vedic is a common word used by husbands. Did any of you ladies ever have the word Vedic pulled on you? Raise your hand. You have to be a Vedic wife. Or another way to say it is you have to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Okay. Next time you know how to respond. If they say, you should be like a Vedic wife, like Sita Devi, and you should say, then you should be like Ram, not Ravan. Okay. Okay, so one final one is deserve. Who wants to do deserve? Yeah. Oh, no, you already were there. Who else hasn't done? Any volunteers? Come on. Okay. Aditi. Okay, come here. Okay. Is Nanda Sutta here? Please come up. What?
What are we doing?
I'll explain. So, you are the daughter. There's a sex change here.
Sex change. So,
and you're the father. And and let's say you haven't cleaned your room. Is that sound?
Yeah, that's
I'm very clean. I feel like.
Oh, okay. We want to be real to real life here. You haven't gotten good grades in school.
Not me either. No, I'm kidding.
Let's pick a realistic one.
Just pick a messy room. That's fine. It's real.
You didn't.
So I didn't clean the room.
No, you didn't come back home on time.
Oh yeah.
That's good. All right. You're the daughter. You didn't come back home on time, and you're the father.
Okay.
And you're looking at your watch, and she just came back.
What time is this? This is not the time to come home.
I had assignments to do.
You always say you have assignments, but the library closes at 9.
No, I went to a friend's home.
Friends? You didn't tell me? Which friends?
Well, I told you, but you forgot. You are getting a little old.
Now you gotta punish him. There's some.
You calling me old? You calling me old? No more car for a month.
Well, I have a credit card. I'll take Uber every day. And it's your credit card.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That was good. Okay, I think we. Some real-to-life dramas here, isn't it? So now we have a play ready? Okay, so you're going to introduce the play, or? Okay, so we have a play illustrating empathic communication. Keep it on. That's good.
I came to ask you a question.
Back there, I saw some animals half killed. Was that your room? Yeah. I'm curious to know, is there a reason you have killed them? Instead of killing them completely, they are suffering pain by the arrows that disperse the body. My name is Rigari, which means enemy of the animals. My father taught me to kill them in this way. It gives me great pleasure to watch them suffer. So, I don't want to be rushed. I've got so many skins, even tighter. No, I don't mean any of that. I have only one thing to ask from you, Enchanter. Why not? From this day forward, Hilary, I will want you to kill the animals completely. But what is wrong with these animals that I have killed?
Amazing! Such a brutal killer turned into such a pious person. How is this even possible? It's only possible with the mercy of a pure devotee like Narada. Yes, yes, let's get some food.
So that requires a little explanation, unless one of you going to do, or should I do the explanation? Why is that nonviolent communication? Well, first of all, Narada Muni did not demand that Magrari change his ways. What he did was he explained to him very nicely. Actually, the real story is he gave him a virtual reality experience. Everybody knows what virtual reality is? No. Virtual reality, well, they have these goggles nowadays you put on, and it's like you're in a particular place. Or in the future, you're going to be able to plug your brain into a computer. Like The Matrix. Some of you may have seen that movie. So virtual reality experience means what the future holds for you, directly seeing it, experiencing it. And what he saw was that the animals that he had tortured, half killed and killed, were going to kill him and torture him in the future. So based upon him understanding the natural repercussions of an activity rather than the unnatural ramifications. Let me explain what I mean by that. The unnatural means extraneous or extrinsic. It's a better word. An extrinsic ramification of your activities. Let me unpack that. Extrinsic means, let's say you're going to school, and I've given this example before, that every time you get an A, you get money from your parents. Does anyone have that experience? Any of the children here? I do. So you get, good. So you get money from your parents every time you get an A. If you get a B, you probably get a little less money. If you get a C, you get nothing. If you get a D, you get a minus $5. I've mentioned this before in class, that's how it did me in mathematics. In fact, I get an 800 on my college boards because of my mother's training like that. So, that's a perfect score. So you should treat the children like that. So what that does, the extrinsic rewards or punishment make you absorbed in the extrinsic, the external rewards and punishment, not in the activity itself. The activity itself should be explained in such a way that it's attractive for the person. The intrinsic rewards. Now, why do you want to study? Well, you study because you like the subject matter and you'll learn more about things. That's intrinsic. Extrinsic means you'll get money or punishment, depending on how well you do. So the intrinsic way is the way to actually encourage people. So Narada Muni was explaining intrinsically what it means to kill the animals for you in the future, karma. And he saw it directly. And then McGrory decided to change. And he voluntarily accepted Narada Muni's instructions. And when he voluntarily accepted Narada Muni's instructions, he got taken care of by Krishna. As Krishna says, you know, nicho nichanam, chetanas chetananam, ego bahunam yobidadati. Come on, I'm taking care of everybody. I want to speak of the devotees. I'd never seen a devotee starve in the Krishna consciousness movement. I've seen the opposite. But never starvation, right? So, and that's one of the surrendering principles in that Lord Chaitanya taught. What? To always understand the Lord is protecting one and maintaining one. Of course, there's other words, such as being meek and humble, having no self-interest in the interest of the Lord, and accepting everything favorable and rejecting everything unfavorable. So this was an exhibition of how to guide someone in empathic communication. You may not have the virtual reality tools, but you could talk about the future, like you're talking to your child. All right, if you decide not to go to school, what will the future hold for you? Do you like cleaning houses? Do you want to be a bungee? You know what a bungee is? Yeah. That's okay. That's your choice. You give the child a choice, explain very nicely what the ramifications of the decision are, and 99.99% of the time, the child will choose something that's in his self-interest in the future. You know, you want a phone, you want, you know, of course, so many things. So there's necessary to have some education. Okay, we have another play here? Okay. That's McGrory the Hunter.
Preparations for Lord Ram's coronation were going on. Everybody was delighted, except Queen Kaikeyi, who was under the influence of her maidservant, Mantra.
Let all the gods witness your promise. I can give this entire kingdom, even my life, to Ram. And by Ram I vow that none of your demands will be left unfulfilled, my dear queen.
Let the sun, moon, all the presiding deities, all the gods, and the super soul in everyone's heart take a notice of your great vow, O king. The most virtuous monarch, who is always true to his words, has given me his promise.
Wait no more. Please repeat your mind, my dear.
Recall, O king, once you fought with the goddess against the demons, and as your charioteer, I had saved your life. That time, you had promised me two boons, and today, I desire to take those boons. But if you will not grant me those boons, I will give up my life today.
My dear, I most certainly remember the times when you had saved my life, and I am most eager to repay all your debts.
Then listen, O king. For my first boon, I want my son Bharat restored at Ram. And for my second boon, I want Ram to be exiled to the forest for 14 years. Be true to your promise, O king, and earn everlasting glory.
Oh, cruel and foolish woman! How could you even have such a heart? Seems like you want to destroy my entire dynasty. Am I? What now? Hard to you? Then why are you ruining everything for Ram and me right at the time of this coronation? I have been harboring a venomous serpent for all these years. I have already been so kind to you. Then how can you hurt me like this? Please show some kindness. Just think. The entire humanity praises Ram. Then how can I forsake him? I can give up everything, but I cannot part with Ram. I cannot part with Ram. Please give up this sinful desire. Please give up this sinful desire.
I cannot be cheated anymore. No one can fool me now. I will take my boots. No one can part.
Even your own son, Bharat, loves Ram so sincerely. The person and his goodness and Kaushalya, I have always told him, ask for anything in this world, ask for anything in this world, and I shall be done. Please, good friend, Ram, I bow my head to your feet and I beseech you, please do not die, Ram.
After I don't know.
for certain, my end is going to come very soon. But I will that only my beloved son Ram is going to perform the last rites. And you should not make any of these to me. You should not make any of these to me.
Why are you saying such harsh words to me? I am just asking what you have already promised me. Now give up this needless pretension and do your real duty. Oh mighty king, summon Ram now.
My judgment fails me, and I feel so hopeless. And in this evil hour, I take the refuge of my noble son Ram. Someone please bring my gentle son Ram before me. Someone please bring my gentle son Ram before me.
Very well. That was intense. So which D of this communication was exhibited? All four were exhibited. Demand, deserve, denial, diagnose. Because she was diagnosing him, you know, useless, and he was diagnosing her, obviously. She was demanding. So you see all four of them, horrible married relationship you got there. Don't do that at home. So, thank you very much for that. I guess that's the last play, right? Okay, so we're going to do some interesting exercises now. And this is, remember we started the whole discussion that everything we do, everything we think, all motivation is due to trying to fulfill needs. All feelings we have, remember that? Everybody remember that? So we're going to do an exercise in needs with dyads. I mean, that means two people by two people, one by one. And this is perhaps one of the most interesting exercises we've ever done, where one person, and it'll take 10-15 minutes to do this exercise, one person speaks and the other person keeps their mouth closed and listens for 5 minutes. And they speak, the person who speaks about what's alive in their heart right now. What's important to them right now. It doesn't matter. Whatever is important, and the other person, don't nod, don't give any positive or negative body language, you just listen. This is an exercise in developing listening skills. Also an exercise in trying to ascertain what is that person's need. The need list, if you remember, I think it's still on the wall there, but here we'll just exhibit this again. The need list is basically your physical needs, or we say the gross needs, then with play fun, and then interdependent needs, that means acceptance, love, respectability, autonomy, wanting to make one's own decision in life, celebration, integrity. Integrity means self-worth, creativity, contributing something in life, and also that little thing called Krishna consciousness that we're supposed to be here for. Yeah, you gotta be Krishna conscious, or else you're going to hell. Can approach you from a different religion tell you that you're going to hell? It's really an interesting experience. My standard response is, when they say you're going to hell, I say, great. The preaching there is great. I have so much difficulty convincing people they're suffering. But if I go to hell, it'll be easy. Because where people are enjoying, it's very hard. I'll give you a practical example. Many years ago, I became GBC of Hawaii. Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. And for me, it wasn't nice because people were not attentive in hearing about Krishna. In fact, when I would give Bhagavatam class, nobody was there. Why? Because they were out surfing. That's the devotee said, surf's up, time to go surfing. So when everything is nice, then that makes Krishna consciousness more difficult. So anyway, so if we want to go to hell, that's fine. Because we can serve Krishna there and preach. Narayana Nakutashtra Bibhiti Swaraga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitodi Agda Darshana. Devotee, heaven, hell, everything is the same. Because he's serving Krishna. Okay, so remember, two, that's dyads, and you speak to the other person, and the other person keeps quiet and listens for 5 minutes. Then you switch, and you listen, and then you try to guess the person's need that the person, he or she, is expressing. And then we'll share with everybody, whoever wants to volunteer to share. So we're going to start right now. So it turns to you either right, left, back, or forward. 10 or 15 minutes. Remember, one person just is quiet. You can turn it off. Yeah.
Thank you. is what deities are wearing here today. That was made by my mind.
Wow. I only call the devotees to have an opportunity.
No, why I am telling you is this, you get no idea, the question of this other thing.
Yeah, I did.
If you have any question, I'm not really an expert, but
she did a very good job.
You're a small outfit from everything.
You're very important.
Yeah,
you
know,
however
life,
you can
do it.
Wow, okay, they're definitely going to send you an outfit.
Oh, we'll see you in the morning, like, and after I'm here,
what are you waiting?
Tomorrow. You will be fine. We've been moving down. We're going to stay for another night, then we'll try, I will be after.
Okay. You're leaving after the morning, or?
After, like, this time,
That was good with your daughter. Not a problem.
We are trying to do something different next year.
What year are we going to have Ravindra Smurf? Ravindra Smurf is coming next year. Next year. Yeah, not me. In America, not so much. Overseas, yes.
Before some years ago, you were doing something in a Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I think I might have done something in Portland. That was years ago.
And, do you have many disciples in the Bellingham area or something? Vancouver,
Bellingham? Maybe two or three. Not a lot.
Bellingham.
Well, because one of them was sick, the other one had his children with his wife, and the other one was in Vancouver. Okay. Anyway, we'll see. We'll come back. When are we going to see you again?
Whenever you like. We'd love to have you again. I passed on your message to Maharaj yesterday, and he said, yeah, I also want to see him. But I don't know, I said, you're saying a message on the
guy. Yeah.
Looks like
you connected today. Okay, we connected today. Yeah, we had a good,
we thought, it was nice. He's really very healthy and skinny. He's just on a moon diet.
He looks well, by the way. Yeah. He's doing very well. Good, it's good he got off the TV screen. It's too traumatic for him.
Yeah, after some reason, I think Bhakti Swami is spreading his influence quite a bit in America. He got a farm somewhere.
In Orlando.
He also set up a retreat center and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
When is that going to happen?
No, he's definitely trying to make it into his influence known. Okay,
see you tomorrow.
So we'll see you tomorrow. Okay. Works. Always works. So, does anyone want to share their experience of guessing another person's need? Yes. The microphone.
Maharaj, I would share what I shared with my partner and how I listened and how much he said. I'll share that. But then I have some doubt also. So if you allow, I can clarify.
Yeah, share that.
So for sharing perspective, my partner spoke for about 2 minutes. So I listened carefully and I reflected back that I heard these 3 things that you shared. So I patiently waited and listened. So that was a very good exercise because listening is one big area that I want to improve upon. And I felt like I should speak it, but I was supposed to not speak for 5 minutes. So. and then when my part came, I spoke for a whole 5 minutes because I'm more of a speaking person rather than listening person. So that is just from sharing perspective. The doubt I have is in my personal experiences, I feel like if I'm waiting for 5 minutes to just listen, and 5 minutes is a huge time, actually. if we start looking at 5 minutes is a huge time. And within 5 minutes, if the other person is speaking completely things that I'm not able to relate and I'm not able to tolerate and I'm not able to understand, few things are illogical also. And within 5 minutes, let's say 50 things are spoken. From 10 years ago. And that becomes really a challenge to stay quiet and just listen for 5 minutes. And even if I do that, after 5 minutes, what do I say? 50 things I heard, where do I start?
What needs? What is the need? You know, we're talking about the needs, the physical need someone has, the need for affection, the need for autonomy, making his own decisions. There's one or two particular needs that will be expressed by him when he's talking. Can you figure that out?
And, yeah.
No, that's okay.
It may be difficult, but yes.
No, that's okay. Actually, one of the primary purposes of the exercise was to see how difficult it is to actually listen to someone. Because of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious, and we just want to speak. But empathy means to hear someone and to be able to consider important their feelings and needs. Now, generally, when we're having a conversation, we always want to interject something right away. You know, someone is talking and saying, you don't mean that, or you should do that, or don't talk like that. But everyone is communicating their feelings and needs. It's important if we want to understand some relationship, to understand their needs. Very important. So that takes time, hearing. So who else wants to share? Yes.
Hi. I decided to speak to a child very deliberately. I didn't want to speak to an adult. And I was talking to a 9-year-old, and she was telling me about all the problems that she perceived to be really huge in her life, like pimples or being overweight, and you know, she wants to do makeup. And to me, it was very heartbreaking that a 9-year-old child has to worry about these things instead of, you know, just being a child. So just the social pressures of being a 9-year-old, you know, when I was 9 years old and a 9-year-old child now. To me, that was very heartbreaking.
So what do you think her need was?
Her need is, of course, you know, she wants to improve her looks, etc. That's really what she was talking about.
Well, take a guess.
Physical.
physical or... No, the pimples, you mentioned pimples.
Right, that's what you mentioned.
Okay, but why would someone be worried about pimples? Acceptance. You know, if you don't care about acceptance, you're going to have pimples all over your body and it won't make a difference. But you want to be accepted and loved by others. And that's a big, that is a very big need for all of us, but especially teenagers, young people. There's some statistics now that there's many suicides amongst young people, specifically because of social pressure, non-acceptance, they don't fit in. Young people and old people, but young people to a greater emotional extent, they need that social acceptance. So that's what she was showing. Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. First of all, thank you very much, Maharaj. And before I start, what I realized, I thought after this conversation, I felt it should have been more better if it were a family member. I mean, I could try after going home, but yeah.
Try that at home. Tell your husband he has to listen
for
5 minutes.
My daughter was sitting... the Mataji with whom I had the conversation, I know her more than 6 years, but this 5 minutes conversation was better than what all interaction I had since last 6 years. I could understand
wow.
her better.
Did everybody hear that? She's known this lady for 6 years, and this 1 5 minutes was more connection than all the 6 years combined.
The reason I would say is not that she was not able to express at that time, but the reason I would say that I have tried to judge her in between her talk, conversation, thought I would help her better by interrupting her or trying to give my understanding of what she has not yet has expressed. So when we do that, the other person gets automatically towards the direction of what the other person is saying to you instead of expressing their own feelings.
Hmm.
So this person was in the need of love, which she did not get in her childhood, which she did not get at all in her childhood. Now when she is able to receive that love, empathy, compassion in both material and the spiritual ways, she is overwhelmed. She is feeling very fortunate, able to share that love to others. She has become so much reserved, shy. She's trying to, but right now her need is to get more and more love. And I pray for her, to Krishna, that she should be able to share whatever she is getting and get more.
Very nice. Very good. So this is a powerful exercise. You, joking aside, you can do it at home with those of you who are family members, and you'll find a deep connection between each other just by listening without any body language or speaking. Because even if you nod, that's body language. You're saying, communicating something. You want to just hear. Anyone else want to share? Yes, Krishna.
My discussion partner and I, one of the things that we found really challenging was not reassuring each other, you know, when the other person is expressing some stress or some difficulty. And it made me understand how even reassurance, even asking questions to show that you're interested, you can inadvertently redirect the conversation away from what that person really needs to communicate. And if you reassure them, you might shut them down. You know, if they say, oh, this bothers me. Oh, don't worry, you're great. And now all of a sudden you've stopped them from expressing themselves. So that was what I learned about the value of listening and not interrupting.
Yeah.
I think, like, with female connection, we instantly want to, like, you know, help each other out and feel each other. So I realized that I literally had to, and sometimes, sorry, deliberately ignore her, reassuring her, because when you're having an intimate conversation, something a little more personal, something a little deep, it's like, I'm here for you. You know, you kind of want to, like, reach out and do all of this and that. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I just want to point out there's nothing wrong with silence. You know, sometimes there's what they call the pregnant pause, where there's silence, and we become very uneasy, isn't it? Like right now, if I stop talking. What's happening? Has he had a stroke or what? So silence brings out different things. And even therapists understand this, that even if someone is reluctant to speak about something, if you're silent, eventually they'll start speaking to you. It's a very powerful technique. And people have this need to talk to someone, to express themselves. And oftentimes, in a quote, spiritual movement like we have, that because we have the philosophy that, you know, the mind is just the enemy of the conditioned soul and the uncontrolled mind, so we don't want to hear what's in your mind. I had that experience. I was a young brahmachari one day, as difficult as that may seem to accept. Changing bodies. So I was a young brahmachari traveling with a sannyasi. In those days, sannyasis were not kinder, gentler, peace, love, everything like that. But it was difficult. So one time I went up to this sannyasi, who should remain nameless, to protect the guilty. So I went up to this sannyasi and I said, "Can I reveal my mind to you?" And he said, "There's nothing in your mind. It's all Maya." You know, how did I feel? You know, horrible. So, joking aside, we often approach or think of people like that. Like if the wife goes to the husband and says, "Can I speak and reveal my mind?" He's thinking, "What nonsense is going to come out now?" Any of you men ever think like that? They're scared. Yeah, he did. So, and the woman is thinking, he never hears me, never wants to listen to me. Because he's giving body language, even if he allows you to speak, he's going, or, yeah, keep speaking, yeah, I'm listening. I know I do that sometimes with my mother. She calls on the phone, and she keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm just typing on my computer at the same time. And she says, "Are you listening?" "Yeah." Because it drives me crazy. So listening skills are very important. Yeah.
Specifically, like, I have seen many people, like, if they are stuck into some problem and it is not going away, then they are sharing again and again the same thing. So what else can we do? Then I also ended up saying the same thing. This is all mind trick. Give it away.
Okay, that's a very good question. I guess I'll answer it now and then we'll go on to more feedback from people. There's a way to get someone to stop talking. It's called, use the word chupero. For or you could say chup for short. For those of you who are not Hindi speakers, that means shut up. I'm joking. Don't do that, please. You can, there's certain things you can say. We have how to get someone to stop talking. It's a chapter in the book. And you can get the book. And so what you say to people, what are you saying? Could you please explain that? I don't quite understand what you're saying. Like that, rather than saying, you are repeating yourself, you're like a broken record. Did the needle get stuck on the record, you know? You don't want to say that to people. But basically, please explain, I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. Please make it short. There's different things you could say like that.
No, but then there is no solution to the problem. If
you connect to their need, they're communicating some need to you. That's why it's important to be able to guess what their need is. Now, even if you guess wrong, it's good. Because it shows interest. Are you needing appreciation? And someone says, no, I'm hungry. But because you have expressed concern and empathy for them, they appreciate that. And that also is another way to have them not speak so much. But it's important to understand, because certain people do, especially as they get older. And, I mean, my mother, she's 92, and she does repeat the same things over and over again. And so you just ask her to explain, or you deal with the needs. You know, if I just say to her, I'm a sannyasi, it's embarrassing, but I say, Mother, I love you. Then she goes, oh. What do you want? And I say, I need a car. Where should I send the check? No, I say, seriously, I mean, because she's looking for love. The reason she's talking so much is she's looking for love. I mean, my mother in particular, all of her relatives are dead now. Myself and my brother are only people alive. So I'm aware that that's what she's looking for. I really appreciate everything you've done for me. I mean, I used to tease her, and it didn't work. I used to say, you know, you used to torture me, Mother, when I was young. And I'm still going to the psychiatrist because of what you did to me. And it didn't work because she was wanting appreciation and love. And so if you guess and you're able to facilitate that and you really act from your heart, then person won't talk so much. Because I mentioned that everybody, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they're trying to fulfill a need, material or spiritual need. Does that answer your question?
Maybe I will come and discuss with you.
What's that?
I want to discuss more later on.
Okay, we can discuss later about that. Okay, 5 minutes. Yeah. Look, behind you.
Maharaj, may I ask, at the beginning of the exercise, you said, don't nod, don't, you know, just blank face. So even nodding and interferes with listening?
It communicates something that may interfere with the person's expression.
It's really unnatural for me to not even nod and, you know, when somebody's talking.
Think of a psychiatrist. Or a psychologist, sorry. That the psychologist sits you on a couch, and usually he doesn't sit in front of you where you can see him. Of course, excuse me, very few of us have been to psychologists, hopefully. When that's over, And maybe after this seminar, someone you were going to need a psychologist. So, but you see the standard picture, you're on the couch and you're just speaking your mind and the psychologist is just taking notes and he's just listening. One reason why people pay for psychologists is because no one else will listen to them. Right? People, they don't have that human connection, so they have to pay $200 an hour for it. Yeah, so it's a skill that's really important, and I try to use it whenever I understand someone is in pain, which is quite often. I mean, it's very common to come across devotees, non-devotees, people are in pain because their needs are not being met, and you just sit there. And they will actually reveal everything that they've never revealed to anyone else. Because you care. You actually have to genuinely care. It can't be something that's just like an act or a profession. You have to, for example, this is a statistic. Once there was a study done to see which psychological modality was most effective in helping people. Actually, the battery ran out. What?
Out of storage.
Out of storage. Too bad. Anyway, he's filming. So, once there was a study to decide or see which psychological modality was best in helping people. So they had a bunch of people who needed help for some reason or other. And they brought in different types of psychologists. There were Skinnerian behavioral psychologists. Does everyone know what that is? No. Okay. That's a psychologist that trains you like a dog. There was this psychologist called B.F. Skinner. Anyone's heard his name before? One or two of you have heard. He's a behavioral, he was the originator, founder, acharya of behavioral psychology. And he said, he thought the best way to train people is when they do something you want them to do, you give them a bone or give them something positive, a reward. And when you don't, they do something you don't want them to do, you punish them. Of course, he found out the rewards were much better than punishment. So that's the way they train dolphins. You know what a dolphin is? There's a... If you ever go to the sea aquarium or a place where they have these jumping dolphins, how do they get them to jump? They just convince them the best thing for you is to jump. You know, this will fulfill your need for appreciation. No. They give them fish. They feed them a little fish and the dolphin just gladly, wow, fish, poo, poo, like that. So this psychologist had the idea that this is how we get people to behave. So he did that. He was so expert that he trained that. He put her in a box as a scientific experiment. And she became another behavioral psychologist. So anyway, so there's that type of psychology. There's your Freudian psychology, Maslowian psychology, all sorts of different psychologists with different ideas, schools, and training. And then in addition, there were people who knew nothing about psychology. They never even heard the word psychology before. So they brought in this diverse group to take care of people who needed help. And so it turns out that it has nothing to do, success had nothing to do with what type of psychologist you were, or whether you were trained or just what we call layman. That means a person who didn't know anything about psychology. It had everything to do with how much empathy you showed the person. In other words, you or I can be just as successful as a professional psychologist in helping people if you just listen. And you care. Not just listen. Not just sit there with your mobile phone. And be bored. Twiddle your thumbs. But you really care about people. You don't need to pay money to a psychologist. You just need to care. Of course, to be able to care, you have to care about yourself first. You have to work and fulfill your own needs. Be responsible for your own needs. Then you can care for others. Because if you're in suffering because your own needs are not fulfilled, you're not going to be able to listen or care for others. That's really important. So, anyway. So, any other sharing things we want? We only have a few minutes left. Yeah. Yeah, question.
So, Maharaj, you're talking about listening. I think the main obstacle I feel in listening is the constraint of time.
A waste of time.
Constraint of time.
A what?
Like constraint of time.
Time constraint.
And yeah. I'm thinking more in my workplace. Like, you know, I teach college students. And there are 120 of them, and I want to be an empathic teacher.
Yeah.
So, how do I implement this with the constraint of time and
the constraints of time?
And the sharing or listening to them with attention for their stories.
Because you have so many people to take care of. Is that the question?
Yes.
It's very difficult. You have to take the time with people, and especially parents with children have to take the time to hear the children. I mean, those of you who are parents, when was the last time you let your child just talk like that? Thursday? When?
Thursday.
All right. Well, he's expert. It's not the pronouns, expert already. So, just let them talk and hear them. And don't say anything. Don't condemn them. Don't pass judgment on them. Okay, one other person, and then we have to move to the final segment of this seminar. Yeah. Maybe two more people. Because we have to finish by 8:15.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question on nonviolent communication. I was watching all the different skits, like all the Prabhuji's and Mataji's were doing, especially the one with the husband and wife. All right. So I was just curious, like when you're like a bachelor or whenever you're single, what do you look for in a woman specifically when you're getting married? You don't want to have these fights because you do not want to have these fights. All right. And you also like. And also, like, that's my main question. Yeah. And they want to know how old you is a good age.
All right, wait. I think you got enough. I think I'm going to take sannyas on that one. So, when you're a bachelor or single, if you want to get married, forget it. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. They can't communicate. So, what?
What qualifications should you look for?
For yourself also, like both. Well, the woman should look for a man with a lot of money. You're just setting me up for more jokes. But basically, one should take their time to find out if the person has this same or compatible expectations are very important in life. So, in the ISKCON, we have a grihastha ministry where there's a whole questionnaire. You're aware of that, right?
Yes.
And these expectations, and you should consult with... you're getting married soon?
No.
Who's the lucky girl? You should...
Sorry.
So you should consult with senior devotees because the female are put together, as Prabhupada would often say, men is like butter, women is like fire. They both melt, actually. And according to this, according to modern science, when people are in love, they lose their sense of discrimination. This brain scan is like when one takes cocaine.
Oh, okay.
You're basically breaking the regulative principles by being in love. Because you, seriously, one actually loses their intelligence. Therefore, it's recommended you have senior members of the family to advise you. I know traditionally we had arranged marriages, and I've seen some of them work out extremely well. But nowadays, of course, the young people are not going to go for arranged marriages in general. So therefore, you consult and take seriously the senior members of your family because they have a vision, a long-term vision. Whereas people who are in love have a very short-term vision, like 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. Let's...
Thank you, Marge.
With that... All right. Okay. We only have 15 minutes, so I just wanted to cover something that I usually leave more... I usually leave more time over at the end to cover this particular subject matter. And this is the subject matter of gratitude. That we all have a need for gratitude. And I'm going to differentiate gratitude from praise. Praise is a diagnosis. Like if someone comes up to me after the seminar and says, Maharaj, you're wonderful. It doesn't do anything for me. In fact, it just makes me proud and actually makes me very puffed up. Just like one of the dangers in devotional service is the byproducts of bhakti, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Anyone here study the Madhurya Kadambini? Yeah. So, what does that mean, byproducts of bhakti? As you progress in devotional service, people praise you. And then you tend to believe it. Like those of us who are gurus, we get a book written about ourselves every year. Isn't that fantastic? A book with pictures. Everybody says how wonderful, you got lotus feet, you can't be beat. So after a while, you begin to think that your feet are lotuses. And you basically learn the yoga posture where you can put your feet on your head. Okay. So, actually, even if there's a statement, that's all right. I fulfilled his need for fun. So, there's a statement in the Vedic literature that says, he who praises me is my enemy. But appreciation is something different. Appreciation is when someone comes and says, you did this. The whole process, observation. When you did this, I felt like this because it fulfilled a particular need I have. I'll give you an example how Prabhupada used that particular, I wouldn't say technique, but strategy. Here's what Prabhupada said. Okay. Let's see, that's on the first page here. Prabhupada said to a devotee, I have heard from you, from him, the details of your procession. He's referring to Ratha Yatra here. And it is so much engladdening to my heart. So what is Prabhupada saying? He said, observation, I've heard about your procession, your Rath Yatra. Well, how do I feel? Engladdened. Ecstatic. Thank you very much for making the Rath Yatra festival so successful. Please convey my gratitude to all the boys and girls who participated in this great transcendental service. This is the second year, and you have made a great stride from the first year, and in the third year, I hope it will be more successful. So see what Prabhupada did? Really interesting. Observation. What I heard. You did the procession. Feeling. Engladdened. Need. That it's implicit here. That actually it's for Krishna. It's pleasing to Krishna. And then the request. Next year, I hope it will be still more successful. And Prabhupada, interestingly enough, used this particular, I'm not going to say technique, but dynamic, many, many times. I'll give you another example. I am very much happy for your nice spiritual sentiments. In London, there may be a temple or not. It does not matter. You are doing very nicely, more than a temple. He's expressing this. Better temple, that is all right. Otherwise, your engagement in kirtan is very nice. So continue, here's a request. So continue this program in cooperation with your other God brothers and God sisters, and Krishna will make you happy. You six together are doing so nicely that I am very much proud of you. Be blessed by Lord Chaitanya and go on like this. So this is a letter to Yamuna, when actually referring to the devotees in London. Just one more letter from Prabhupada. I thank you very much. This is a letter to the San Diego devotees. I very much thank you for installing Radha Giridhari. From my childhood, I was very much fond of Radha and Krishna. And now my good disciples are helping me to open up so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world. It gives me so much pleasure. Prabhupada is experiencing his happiness, pleasure. Now introduce Rath Yatra. Request. That was my childhood activity. I want to see my disciples all over the world introduce two items, opening Radha Krishna temples and Rath Yatra festivals. Do this under the protection of Guru Gauranga. So, I guess we wanted to do an exercise, but we're not going to have time for this. But I am imploring or requesting, whatever, that you learn this technique of appreciating each other. One thing that I do generally during these seminars to illustrate appreciation is I do a sample presentation of appreciation for Prabhupada. So we'll do this right now. And then that can be something that you can copy, not copy exactly, but copy the mood of appreciating. Husband can appreciate wife, wife can appreciate husband, children can appreciate parents, parents can appreciate children. It's very powerful. I suggest that when you have even business meetings, start an appreciation of each other, what they did, how you feel about it, and what need was met. You don't have to make a request. Then it will actually bring people together. Because we have this hunger for appreciation. In fact, sometimes when we don't get appreciation, we sort of like fish for it. How did I do? Did you like the seminar? Because we need it. And I received a little bit of appreciation on the way here. People were expressing how they learned, how it helped their family life. How they don't feel like killing their wife anymore. Yeah. That's good. You know, I prevented some murders. So let me just do a sample right here so you get an idea. And we have five more minutes, so we don't have time for it. Well, maybe we can have someone else do something after I do it, just to show you a sample. So, Srila Prabhupada, you have given us the purpose of human life. Before I joined the movement, I didn't have any purpose to my life. There was no reason to do anything. And you have fulfilled that purpose and satisfied me by giving me this objective, a reason to live, a reason to serve, or to do anything in this world. So I want to thank you very much for doing that, Srila Prabhupada, and I will go on serving you life after life. So this is appreciation. So would anyone like to come up and do an appreciation for either Prabhupada or someone that they, maybe someone else in the room? Where's Nandasuta? Come here. Nandasuta is going to do an appreciation for your wife, right?
No. Actually, I have a different plan, Maharaj.
Uh-oh.
And thank you for calling me here. I wanted to do this.
Okay.
So I'm very honored to be here in front of all these exalted devotees. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to appreciate His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj.
What did I do?
You did and fantastic things for us. You've
like,
been
specific.
Enlivened and you made it very easy to understand this difficult human psychology and relationship sort of issues. So, you took a lot of time. I mean, I see that you've been standing here for 2 years, 2 hours or more. And nobody's believing. So it's very entertaining. But at the same time, you are giving the message that is touching our heart. So that's amazing. And your book, I read it 2 times. And, Guru Maharaj asked me to read it 4 or 5 years ago. So she sent me the manuscript back then. So I read it 3 times. I didn't understand much, but the last year was fantastic. I mean, when we were here in Gita Nagari. And while going to the Philadelphia airport, we talked about what all we learned. And we all were stuck at the need. Then you came to Seattle last week. We spent 4 or 5 days together and this seminar here. So really indebted to the how much care and love you have showered on Ramabhadra Swami's disciple and other friends and other devotees who have come here. So I just don't have any words to express further, Maharaj.
Thank you very much.
And the simplicity you have and you know, like some of the stuff, like you said, people put pictures in a book and write this, and you bring it down to such a level that even a 10-year-old children who are sitting back can understand that what is real Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, Krishna consciousness should be fun and joyful. And whenever I've seen you over the years, like 14, 15 years, I've met you and, experienced all the love you showered on us, that you make it very easy and you make it very joyful. So that joyful Krishna consciousness expression, I see in you all the time, whenever I've seen you, Maharaj. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Well, you too, Brad. Thank you very much, Namaskar. And then I wanted to, I'll show you how to receive appreciation. Because sometimes when someone appreciates you, you say, it was nothing. But that said, it negates them. It's like a slap in the face. But I very much appreciate, because hearing that appreciation, that's observation, I'm doing all this automatically, because as you practice AEC or nonviolent communication, it's automatic, but you gotta practice it. It's not you just take the seminar and then, wow, I know it. It doesn't work like that. It's something you really have to integrate into your life. So what went through my mind is basically he said that, and it really encourages me to go on teaching more and contributing more to Srila Prabhupada's movement in this way. And I really enjoy it because you're all young enough, most of you, to make the changes in life that are necessary. I was actually just talking to Ramapad Maharaj before, and our discussion was that it's really hard to change old people. Because we were talking about certain old people. Not me. It's actually important to always think of yourself as being young. even if you're walking around in an old body. Like Prabhupada said, when the devotees were swimming in the Yamuna, they were jumping in, and he says, I feel like that too, you know. But I know you have an old body. So you really don't feel like you're old if you keep the right consciousness. So receive that appreciation. It just gives you life. When someone, you know, you contributed to someone. Nothing is more pleasurable than contributing to someone else. To knowing that you made someone else closer to Krishna or happy in Krishna consciousness. That's and then you get Krishna's mercy. Isn't it? Okay, I think, yeah, we have to end. We have to end because tomorrow we have, another part, we have questions and answers. So if any of you have questions and answers, not answers. you're not allowed to give any answers, just like those questions. And so, if you have questions, both Ramapad Maharaj and myself will be available. I think it's 11:30 tomorrow morning till about, what time? About 1 p.m. 11:30 to 1 p.m. And we'll be happy, I guess, sitting here in the temple room to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.